Cunningham, and I'm the chair of the editorial board of the Centre for Governance, Risk and Regulation at the London Institute of Banking and Finance. And we've just held a very interesting seminar on the return of inflation and the consequences of the return of inflation for financial institutions. And we had three panelists, Paul Fisher, Mark Cliff, and Brian Foss, all presenting different perspectives, an economic perspective, a risk management perspective, and a perspective from the board and the senior manager's office. And we've got a bit of bonus time now just to explore a couple of things that we didn't have time for in that 1 hour seminar. And I'd like to start with the concept of uncertainty, because it came up again and again in the last hour. This notion that we're in uncharted territory, certainly in recent times, very difficult to predict where inflation is going to go, how people are going to respond to it. I'm going to start with Paul for your comments on how uncertain is the future of inflation.
Well, it's interesting. As a Monetary Policy Committee member, there's always somebody at every meeting who says things are more uncertain than usual. And actually, when inflation is low and relatively stable, it's quite difficult to work out what's going to happen. So you think things are very uncertain. But of course, now the degree of uncertainty has gone very large. There are some things we can be very fairly sure about. The price of oil is unlikely to go much above where it has been. What we don't know is whether it will fall back quite slowly. It could remain elevated at this level for several years, or whether it will fall back quite quickly, in which case that will put a negative inflationary impact in. But decision making under uncertainty is what central banks do, and they've got to balance off the risks. And there are two big risks for them at the moment. One is they allow inflation to stay too high, inflation expectations get completely de-anchored, and then it's very much more costly to bring inflation down. So that's quite a big risk, possibly an existential one for an inflation targeting central bank, where it might find its powers being taken away if it doesn't do that successfully. On the other hand, if they tighten too aggressively on the back of big oil surprises and supply side shocks, you could generate a recession through the policy impact. And that could be quite a bad outcome for the central bank as well. So they've got to tread this very fine line between these two big risks. And of course, you could even end up with both high inflation and a recession. And so I imagine they're scratching their heads and really trying to work out. One thing is clear. I would be very hawkish on inflation, committing everybody to the idea that inflation will come down, must come down. We will do what it takes to get inflation down. Because if people believe that, that's the least costly way to do it. And so I imagine the rhetoric will be dialed up, but the actual actions, very uncertain.
Now, Mark Cliff, you spent much of your professional life running scenario analysis and trying to advise people on where the trends were going. So what are you thinking now in this environment of uncertainty about monetary situations and inflation?
Well, I think the key thing I would say here is, although we all have to go through our apprenticeships and learn the trade, should we say, which in the case of forecasting involves learning about economic models and using models. Risk managers, of course, have lives revolving around models. You have to recognize that a lot of important things are not actually in the models, because as Paul has already indicated, there are political consequences of this uncertainty as well. Not just for the central banks and the regulators, but of course for the private sector financial institutions themselves. We are already under intense scrutiny for corporate behavior. The financial institutions, of course, have been under the spotlight for, you know, best part of 15 years now for malfeasance and other problems that have arisen. There was obviously an attempt to rehabilitate the financial institutions' reputations through the pandemic, which I think to an extent succeeded, partly because, of course, the financial institutions had learned lessons and had responded to the regulators' requirements to improve their resilience, but this work is far from finished. And I think financial institutions have to invest in scenario thinking. In fact, the regulators are telling them to do so for climate change, but this applies more generally to this kind of environment of disruptive change, where the political climate could completely change the landscape, the policy landscape. We've gone through 15 years of unprecedented change in economic policy. I don't think it's over yet, because if we have either high inflation or a steep recession, or possibly both, then there will be enormous political consequences, and the financial institutions will bear the brunt of that. We're already beginning to see governments and regulators making fresh moves on the financial institutions. So boards and senior executives in these institutions need to think in terms of radical uncertainty rather than traditional risk management. This is not something that you can model. You don't have historic data to model on in any case, because the clue's in the word, unprecedented. We do not have the evidence, and therefore you need expert judgment from a variety of disciplines to produce scenarios that can help you think through and prepare for the inevitable surprises that will be coming your way. And I think related to this as well, you need to be investing in what you might call situational awareness. In other words, you need to be continuously thinking, what kind of a world am I in? How could the context that my business is operating in be upended? So I think that does require, again, expert multidisciplinary resources to be deployed to keep the machine running and have the flexibility and agility to respond to shocks as and when they arrive.
Now, Brian Foss, you spend your life either sitting on boards or advising board members on matters of risk and governance. Radical uncertainty in the current environment. What are you going to be saying to board members? Is this time really different?
I think I'd agree with Mark. It's a period of much more radical uncertainty. And that's just not my own opinion, but the Risk Coalition's research shows that that's true. So immediately post 2008, banks and other FS organizations were working with known risks. They were clearing up the mess. They were directed by regulators to do certain things. But now, and we've seen this with the Financial Reporting Council's recent announcement of its refocus on governance rather than just audit, demonstrates that it's a time when we need to focus on that uncertainty and do something with it. So you need to spend more time on emerging risks. You need to be better at spotting them. They're more international in their context. They're more interdependent. They come at us faster, in part because of the digital world. And they're more value chain based, not just internal. So we need to include more views and voices in identifying and mitigating them across the value chain, not just internally. And we need to get started on these actions, because if we wait until the regulator spots it and tells us what to do, it would be too late even to get the base in place, let alone do something significant. And the people at the most forefront of this are those that work to share their knowledge and their experiences of applying new techniques to emerging risks. Those people are then often prepared to share them with others. So this is not something you do in a dark room on your own. You certainly need to work with other leading groups to achieve it.
Now, another theme that came out in the podcast was that countries are different, banks are different, individuals are different in how they respond to these situations or in terms of the products that they buy from financial institutions. So let's just take that very wide perspective now. Let's look beyond the UK, let's look beyond Europe, let's look beyond the US to the rest of the developed world. I mean, we haven't mentioned Switzerland, we haven't mentioned Japan, and also let's think about emerging markets. Now, Paul Fisher, as you think about this international perspective, Is it different from Western Europe, different from the US, different from the UK?
Oh, absolutely. So let me just take the developed end first, Japan and Switzerland. They have now got inflation over 2% for the first time in many years. But they've still got ultra low interest rates and monetary policy settings. And talking to friends in those countries, I said, won't this be a good chance for inflation and interest rates to normalize, get back towards some semblance of how an economy should be? And what they say is, no, it's so ingrained now, the inflation expectations of zero. People won't have natural hedges. It will come as a real shock that suddenly savings are getting eroded by higher inflation. And they just don't know what the behavioral response to that is going to be. So they were quite negative about relatively small increases in inflation so far. At the other end of the spectrum, you have emerging markets. Now, in the West, before the pandemic, we had this myth that inflation was something of the past that had been slayed by central banks, and central banks were too busy fighting the past war and trying to keep inflation under wraps. But just before the pandemic, over half the world's population lived in countries with inflation over 5%. It was much more common in emerging market countries. And now that there's good and bad about that. On one hand, people are used to it and they're used to adapting their lives and their existence to changing and high and volatile inflation rates. On the other hand, it means inflation expectations would move up very, very quickly with actual inflation, making it much harder to control and bring down again. And whilst in the West, we're talking about people being a bit worse off, and we're focused on a small section of society who are poor having to go to food banks or whatever, it's going to be much more widespread pain in really poor countries. You really are looking at people unable to feed themselves, or unable to get to their work because there's no fuel for transport. And so the inflation experience in emerging market countries can be completely different from in the West.
Mark Cliff, how would an international bank respond to the issues that we've been discussing, where you're trying to manage risk, manage uncertainty over a variety of jurisdictions, which, as we've just heard, will have very different circumstances?
Well, I think certainly the large banks are fortunate in terms of having presence on the ground in their main markets. And given the idiosyncratic problems that these economies have, that's a very vital resource. So you need to have your communication channels running very smoothly from the local offices to the corporate centre. That's one thing. This is goes back to the point I was making earlier about situational awareness. I think also at the top level, I think there has to be a sort of safety first approach to sovereign and credit risk, which unfortunately will mean, I think, a fairly radical review of the exposures that you have on an international basis. And indeed, over the last few years, you've seen quite a lot of banks retreating to their home bases or to their regional bases as a consequence of this. Because sadly, I think the risk in the emerging markets are once again in focus, and this is not something that individual financial institutions can do very much about. They can make their voices heard, I suppose, in public fora and debates, but in the end, this is a public policy problem. And unfortunately, I think we seem to be going in the wrong direction. This is the geopolitical climate that we're in. Maybe at least as far as the NATO countries are concerned, the Ukraine war has been something of a unifier, but even that is not something that we can take for granted. There are clearly tensions within the EU over the war. There's obviously a risk that we will see the reemergence of new populist leaders who will perhaps take us off in a rather negative direction. So political risk, I think, is really going to remain high up on the agenda for many financial institutions on a global basis.
Mm. Brian, do different people in different countries respond in different ways to these challenges? What's the international perspective from the point of view of board behavior and management styles?
Well, I think they recognize there's both an international and a local aspect at the same time. So the issues they're being faced with are very international in nature. They're very geopolitical. They affect the banks and financial services organizations themselves, but also the international clients of those banks and financial services organizations. So they need to be tuned to both. And this is why the Risk Coalition has put so much effort into our geopolitical assessment and work with a working group. So that's for the international context. The local effect, though, is very much on the consumer, whether direct or indirect. And Paul pointed out earlier that the poorest are hurt the hardest here. And this is not just from the rate of inflation, it's from the then embedded cost of living increase. And there we need more data on identifying and supporting vulnerable clients, customers. The data needs to be more real time, and our actions need to be more agile and more helpful. And again, we shouldn't wait for the regulator to tell us this. We know it's the right thing to do, and we should be getting on with it.
I'm delighted that we've had time to explore those issues in greater detail than in the 1 hour limit that we had for our webinar. If you've been listening to this podcast and you haven't listened to the full webinar, please do that. And the slides from that webinar will be available to you. I'm sure that we at the Centre for Governance, Risk and Regulation will be returning to this issue of inflation and the uncertainty and challenges that it poses over the next few months. But for the moment, thank you very much to Paul Fisher, Mark Cliff and Brian Foss. And to those of you listening, good luck.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to find out more about our qualifications, training and upcoming events, then go to libf.ac.uk. We also have other podcast channels that dive into topics like trade finance, financial advice, fintech, and more. You can find all of them at libf.ac.uk/podcasts.